The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com.
Here's Bill Myers.
Welcome to Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday. Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday, something which developed out of, I forget where the term pebble in your shoe. Somebody called it a pebble in your shoe one morning. I got a pebble in my shoe, and I thought that was great. That was great. And so let's do this. So all the pebbles in the world, go ahead and come home to roost here on the Bill Myers Show, 770-563-3770-KMED. By the way, if you want to email your pebble, email bill at billmyersshow.com. Heard all over Southern Oregon, 106.3, 106.7, 105.9 in Grants Pass, also 99.3 KBXG for the morning show, 6 to 9, and then the jukebox when I'm off the air, and with all the wonderful oldies there, too. So KMED.com, stream out of the app, too. By the way, I was going to just mention that people are still writing me and saying, hey, Bill, this app you had us download a number of months ago doesn't work any longer. Yeah, that is now defunct. All right, so don't use that. Just stream directly from KMED.com, which acts like an app on your phone, but is not an app, really. I don't want to get into the weeds on that, all right? So today being Debate Tuesday, 6 o'clock tonight, less than 12 hours from now, we're going to have Kamala and former President Trump dueling it out. It'll be really interesting if you have any particular thoughts on how you think this is going to go. The goal, of course, is to try to knock out each other's opponent. I guess that's the way this is. And I think former President Trump's challenge will be not to rise to the bait, because no doubt she's going to do a lot of blathering on convicted felon, convicted felon, convicted felon. I don't know how many times do you think she's going to probably say convicted felon tonight? As many times as she can get away with it. And he'll have to answer, and hopefully he'll have a pretty good answer for some of that, because he can't just say, you know, I am not going to sink to that level and talk about these ridiculous charges. Or I don't know. I'm sure hopefully his people are working on good answers. I can't wait, though, to hear Trump ask Kamala about, all right, now you wanted free transgender surgeries, too, for illegal aliens and people in prison. You're going to do this, too? All sorts of things. The 2019 campaign for Kamala is going to be a rich vein to mine, because she says on one hand that her values have not changed, although she did. She did, I guess, release a bunch of policies finally yesterday, a day before. Let me see if I have a few notes on this. I didn't get a chance to actually look at them, so it's more of the reporting on them. Oh, her policy agenda is entitled A New Way Forward. Forward. It's always that that Marxism and Maoism sort of vision, detailing her position on issues ranging from her economic vision, which means that companies, inflation is not due to the federal government spending and printing money. It's corporate greed, you know, that kind of thing. Abortion rights, health care, immigration. Harris doubles down on her plan for price controls, drawing widespread criticism from those on both sides of the political aisle. It's like, hey, come on, man. There's a reason why Richard Nixon doesn't have a section of the Nixon Library in San Clemente, California, that has the price control section. You know why? Because it was a massive failure. Sometimes you have to ask a boomer who, or maybe even someone from the greatest generation or the silent generation that lived through a bit of that, and I remember it well. They put controls on wages and prices in that second Nixon administration to try to whip inflation. Now, it was Jerry Ford who actually came out with the whip inflation now buttons, if anybody can remember those, and I do. And I also remember the time of, wage and price controls, and then we had alternative days that you were allowed to buy gasoline. One day, if you had an odd number on the end of your license plate, you could buy gasoline. The other day, you'd have to have an even number to do this. I remember all that kind of stuff, and wage and price controls. And all that happens with wage and price controls is people stop working, or else when it came to the actual items on the store shelves, they started disappearing, because sometimes it doesn't matter. You couldn't produce it for what the government said you could sell it for, and hence people wouldn't sell it. And it's not all that different from what happens in Venezuela. They will do price controls. And then they say, well, that's okay. We've limited the price of milk to $2 a gallon. Of course, you can't find any milk on the shelves. But hey, if you did have it, it'd be $2 a gallon, right? The official government price. But no, that's not going to work. But she's doubling down, apparently, on that. DailySignal.com actually has a, it's from the Heritage Foundation, it has some great fact checks on this. Harris vowing also in her policies to secure the borders after 4 years of open borders. And she's been working it. Oh, I got to tell you, this is going to be really interesting tonight because the mainstream media has been doing this, trying to play this Jedi mind trick, the Jedi mind trick of this is not a member of the administration that you're looking for. She wasn't a member of the Joe Biden administration. She wasn't in the room when the Afghanistan decisions were being made. None of that happened. None of that happened. And these aren't the people that you're looking for. She's someone totally new. Joy. Joy. Feel the joy. Feel the joy. Vote for Kamala. I think my favorite meme on Joy, by the way, is someone put it out there. I loved it. I shared it on Facebook. Joy, joke's on you. Except it's not funny. Serious as a heart attack, what is going on. So we'll have that debate, by the way, carrying that at 6 o'clock, okay? All right. What else do we have going on besides that? Rogue Valley Times reporting this morning, Buffy Pollock digging into another of the Asante nurse civil cases. A judge, actually Judge Benjamin Bloom, the Jackson County Circuit Court judge, issued a stay in one of several civil cases. Now, these are civil cases that were filed against Danny Marie Schofield and Asante Rogue Regional Medical Center yesterday's when he put this order out. So they're going to hold off, I guess, on the civil cases because, what, this hundreds of millions of these going on. But I guess it's just in this case. I don't know about the one with Schlesinger and DeVillanueve. I think it's one of the law people involved in this one. But Monday's ruling had to do in the case of alleged drug diversion related to the death of Horace Wilson. It was filed by Central Point-based Idiart Law Group, on February 26th. That case seeking $11.5 million in damages, alleging that Schofield swapped prescription fentanyl for non-sterile tap water, causing pre-death pain and suffering, and the wrongful death of Horace Wilson. Yeah, and Schofield's a lawyer in Monday's hearing, attorney Chip Horner, made the motion for the stay in the civil case. Oh, I see. So it's Schofield's lawyer asking for the stay. And this along with Jeff Young, legal counsel for Asante, stating that Asante actually supports this request. So I guess they want to hold off on the civil trial while there is still the possibility of getting a criminal trial going. Because I guess there is a decision being made at this point whether or not she will be prosecuted criminally. Now, with the deputy DA who is handling the case, who is going to be the incoming district attorney next year, it'll be interesting. We've all been kind of wondering what would happen here because it's not a matter of what we know or what we think we know about Danny Schofield. It's a very complex case. But talking to enough people behind the scenes about this that, you know, what we know and what we think we know about what happened and what you can legally prove to a jury, boy, I'll tell you, there's a long, long chasm between, you know, that those two situations, right? And so maybe all these civil cases hold off until they decide whether or not they're going to be able to prosecute her criminally, because that may change then what happens with the civil cases, apparently. That's kind of how I'm reading it. I'm not an attorney. I just talked to lots of attorneys, but that appears to be what's going on. So I don't know if the other 300 million or so are going to have a stay put on it, but it would seem to me that if they're going to do this for this one particular case, that might be a trend we'll be looking for. All right. 21 minutes after 6, join the conversation here, 770-563-3770-KMED. We'll get to more of your calls here in just a moment on Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday. The attorney generals want a warning label on social media. We'll talk about that and tell you the latest on that coming up and a whole bunch more. This is the Bill Myers Show.
And I'm on KMED.
Keith Greer writes me this morning. Bill, I think President Trump is capable of speaking for himself, Bill.
Of course he is. But he's also been capable of shooting himself in the foot, Keith. And let me tell you, tonight, it's as serious as a heart attack. So I hope he listens to some advisors that are pretty much smart on such things. He can't rise to the bait.
He did a great job not rising to the bait last time. Or to the bait, rather. Because that was one of those things in which Joe Biden was trying to get him off kilter. And he did very well on that. And you know darn well that Kamala, with these convictions now that there's been some adjudication, is most likely going to bat him about the head with it, most likely. Now, one of the big challenges is that he's going to need to have a decent answer for that. And hopefully he does. And yeah, I'm hoping he will speak for himself. But, you know, to think that someone couldn't get really angry and then go off on the deep end and then hurt himself, you know, he could happen. And I hope he doesn't here, Keith. I know he's capable of it. Will he do it? You know, that's the whole thing. It's not a matter of capability. It's about discipline. And sometimes President Trump has not shown a lot of discipline in debate situations. So that's my opinion. And I'm speaking for myself, Keith. But thank you for the call and the email. 770-5633. Let me go to line one. Good morning. Hi, who is this?
This is Jeff.
Jeff, how you doing? What's on your mind today?
I want to know why Kamala has a plan to secure the border.
It's part of her policy released yesterday just in time for the debate, Jeff. That's why.
It doesn't make sense. Mayorkas said several times in front of Congress that it is secure.
You are correct. He did say that.
That's a pebble in my shoe. Why fix what's not broken? I don't understand it.
Yeah. Aren't you kind of insulted sometimes that this is the presentation of a candidate right now?
The scariest thing, honestly, about this whole, I call it the SS, the, you know, the poop show,
yeah,
is the people that love Kamala and want to vote for her, and then every single time people ask them, so what do you like about her? They just go, oh, well, there's so many things, and they walk away. It's ridiculous. There's no examples of anything this woman has done. She went from the worst vice president in history to the most qualified and elegant woman ever. And I it's just scary that people will sit there. It's like when they smile at you and just sit there and can't give you an answer. It's just so beautiful. I don't understand.
Jeff, all you have to understand is that essentially, a lot of the way that people vote in presidential elections, you can lay at, frankly, look at the government indoctrination that we've had. It's about feelings. It's not about actual policies. It's not about actually, you know, what works or what doesn't. It's about what feels good. And when you're into entire generations who have been inculcated into the fields, we get candidates like Kamala, I guess. It's all that matters. And also you have a mainstream media which is willing to to push it and absolutely cover for it. So it's propaganda. It's very skilled, highly skilled, and yet another CIA creation, in my opinion. We'll see.
It all lies, and it's just you sit there. I've asked friends who love Biden and Harris, and I don't care who you vote for. It's always your right. But when you ask for examples, all they do is revert to how horrible Trump is. Mm-hmm. And then when you ask them to give me examples, they regurgitate the lies that have been on the media.
And of course, exactly. And they have been repeated ad nauseum. And you're getting to the point where, it used to be that the media was there calling, or at least bringing, speaking truth to power. And now all it is just no one's even pretending now to actually be reporting. It's sad. And
no.
I don't know. Maybe what you should end up doing is pulling First Amendment protection unless you actually question government people rather than pushing what they're pushing. I appreciate the call there. You be well, okay? 770-5633. Let me go to line two. Hi, good morning. Who's this? Pebble in your shoe Tuesday. Welcome.
Yes, this is Sherry.
Hi, Sherry. How are you doing today? What's on your mind?
I'm doing really good. I just have a question out there for your listeners. Maybe someone will know this. I was just curious whether or not anyone has their eyes or ears on Hispanic news, TV or radio. and what they're saying about the election. I don't speak Spanish, so I don't understand it, but I don't know if maybe someone in your audience would know.
I haven't really been checking that either, really, like Telemundo, places like that, mm-hmm. right? I know yeah. that Trump, according to polling, and of course polling, you know, how much can you trust it? Apparently he's been making big inroads with Hispanics, especially Hispanic men. And I don't know if that's being reflected in what Telemundo has been doing or talking about, or if they're still just carrying radio or water, rather, strictly for the Democratic Party. I don't answer that, but I'll try to find out, okay?
Alrighty. Okay, thank you. Have
yeah.
a great day.
Yeah, so she's asking if anybody's bilingual, maybe watched Telemundo and some of the other Hispanic channels, and how are they describing the race? That would be interesting. It's a good question. All right, it's 6:29 at KMED, 99.3 KBXG. Before we break for news, I wanted to just share a little bit of a story and honor someone who I worked with a number of years ago. I was reading and going through some news, and I saw that Ron Boutwell passed away the other day. Ron Boutwell, known as Ron Matthews. And this was a man I worked with at KBOY and for a short time at KZZE, which is now known as KMED 106.3. And I worked a morning show with him a number of years, first starting about 1992. I was working across town at KBOY Radio. We were doing morning rock radio. And Ron was just such an incredible character, just a cut-up, no filters, just a guy that I always respected. He always also had to be careful on the microphone and make sure and turn it off, because every now and then he'd say something that he'd drop a bomb, and you'd have to hit the button, Bill, hit the button, just go away. But he was 82 years old. They didn't say much in the obituary. And rest in peace, Ron. It was a heck of a ride those few years with you. You're listening up there in rock and roll heaven, but I wanted to share with you just a little bit one of my favorite Ron Matthews stories. And it had to do with, what he was doing is he was part of the Kiss Army. He was traveling with rock and roll bands back in the 70s and doing merchandising, selling T-shirts, things like that. Do that with Kiss, did it with the Grateful Dead, bunches of others. And so he had all these stories about the wildness of the 1970s classic rock bands. When they weren't considered classic rock, they were new music back in those days. And they were great stories from the road. It was always a lot of fun. But there were also interesting stories about the way that he got into broadcasting. And it was in the 1960s, in the mid-1960s, when he was, I guess he went to broadcast school. And then he went down to the broadcast union shop or whatever it is, because L.A. was a union town. And he ended up getting a referral to go to work at CBS television. And they asked Ron, I said, well, Ron, can you write television promotional copy? Well, yes, absolutely. Of course I can. Of course he couldn't. You know these television shows? Oh, yeah, we know these shows. Wild Wild West, Green Acres, you know, all these kind of things. And so he ended up interviewing over at CBS. And they asked him, okay, can you do all this stuff? Great. Because there was this guy named Charlie who had a heart attack, died at his desk. He died at his desk. Charlie died at his desk, and he was the guy that would write all of the promo copy for the shows like Green Acres and the Wild Wild West and all that kind of stuff. And he would write those every week. And stay tuned when Jim West and Artemis will do this and that and the other. And he'd write all of those promos. So Charlie died, and Ron got his place. He took his place. And Ron was telling me this story, and he said, hey, listen, Bill, I flunked dumbbell English. I couldn't, I didn't know what the heck I was doing. So he was sort of in that fake it until you make it kind of thing. But getting a job at CBS television in the mid-1960s, huge deal. It was great money. He had his own parking space, and so he's showing up to it. But Ron Boutwell is in a panic over this. He's panicking about this. And so he calls up his brother, his older brother, who's a doctor, Dr. Tom, and says, Dr. Tom, I don't know what I'm doing here. I'm going to take over for Charlie at CBS television. I got to write all of these promotions for Green Acres and Petticoat Junction and the Beverly Hillbillies and the Wild Wild West. So, the era of when Ron was doing this. And then Dr. Tom said, Ron, it's okay. Charlie probably has files there. And so why don't you just go through Charlie's files of all the past promotions and little commercial copy that he did and then rework them. And then Ron said, Tom, that's a great idea. And that's exactly what he did. So Ron, week after week, would be digging through Charlie's old files and reworking old promos and just putting new information about the upcoming episodes. And this went on for a number of weeks, and Ron was having a great time, right? And he had a secretary that would help in writing out the copy, and they would send it off, and then they would do the promos and all these sort of things. And Ron was sitting fat and happy. And then one day, Ron tells me, he was summoned to the vice president of programming at CBS. Now, Ron's thinking, I've been found out. They found out that I'm a fraud and I really don't know what I'm doing. And I'm just ripping off Charlie's scripts and reworking it. So with heavy heart, Ron's walking into the vice president of programming at CBS Television, television studio, Television City, I think it's what it was, right? And there's the big mahogany desk. And Ron sits down before the vice president, and the vice president says, Ron, I just wanted to say that you're doing a hell of a job here at CBS, and it's like Charlie never left. Oh, that story just got me every time. It's like Charlie never left. He's like, yeah, you have no idea. And Ron said, well, I had him fooled. Only lasted a few more weeks, and then he got drafted and sent to Vietnam. But, boy, that was a great ride at CBS while it lasted. And those were the kind of stories that Ron would tell, because that was just the kind of guy he was. Loved him. And, Ron, you are sorely missed. Ron Boutwell, dead at the age of 82. What a life. This is the Bill Myers Show, and you're on KMED at 99.3 KBXG. With so many working and doing business from home, it's good to know there's a community business center to help. A Street.
Your silver and your gold.
It's the Bill Myers Show on KMED, Southern Oregon's place to talk.
And Joey Chester is the communications manager with Federation for American Immigration Reform, fairus.org. Certainly, immigration is going to play a big part in tonight's debate. Imagine we're going to hear quite a bit about that. And it's happening in Congress right now. The SAVE Act, also a topic of conversation in voting. Joey, welcome back. How are you doing today?
Bill, it's great to be with you again.
It is indeed. Now, Federation for American Immigration Reform, we've been talking with you folks for years and years and years, and mentioned you'll be looking closely what's going on this evening. And do you think it's finally, is this finally going to be the year in which the presidential election, that immigration finally is stuck in the craw of the typical American voter, or at least enough of them?
Look, I think it's going to be one of the deciding issues. You know, you see stories all across the country now, you know, places like Springfield, Ohio, Heartland America, that are overwhelmed by 20,000 Haitian migrants. You've got New York City. You see stories out of Alabama, Texas. Even in my home state of Montana, there are stories. So,
Wait a minute. Montana, yes. How the heck are you? Well, of course, I don't know. You're not homeless necessarily in Montana. You're just talking about being there illegally. Who's hiring them in Montana is what I'm wondering.
Well, I'm guessing, and this is my speculation. You know, Montana is a big blue-collar working state. There's tons of construction work.
Oh.
So I'm guessing those people are looking at it as cheap foreign labor rather than paying, you know, Americans a fair wage to do the job.
Okay. Kind of like, you know, your drywall crews that are doing it at half the cost of an American crew, that kind of thing. Right?
Totally. And tourism. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you got it. Now, it is certainly something which is on Congress's mind this week. It's the SAVE Act, and the SAVE Act, I guess, is coming up for a vote. Or has it already been voted on? Give me the status of this, because supposedly this is Chip Roy's plan to stop illegal aliens from voting. Could you help us understand that? What's going on?
Yeah, absolutely. So the House has already passed the SAVE Act with unanimous Republican support, and even five Democrats voted for it. So it actually ended up being a rare bipartisan bill that passed the House. Now, not all that many Democrats voted for it, but some did. And there's some of those more vulnerable Democrats where border security really matters to their district. But Chuck Schumer has refused to take it up in the Senate like he has done with every piece of border security immigration legislation. And President Biden has vowed that he will not sign this bill. And so that's why Speaker Mike Johnson is trying to use some leverage here by attaching the SAVE Act to the funding bill to avoid a government shutdown.
Okay. I'm kind of curious what candidate Trump has said about this, if anything. Has he commented on this? Because normally people are hoping that, hey, you don't make a lot of noise here in the final weeks before a presidential election, because there's not a whole lot you can do. Nothing big normally happens when it comes to legislative action.
Right. Nothing big normally happens, but if they don't fund the government by the end of the month, the government will shut down. And now, if you remember, Speaker Johnson has promised us time and time again that he's going to use these funding bills, whether it is, you know, a continuing resolution or a foreign aid bill, that will get some piece of border security legislation attached in that, that basically forces Chuck Schumer's hand to get this to the Senate. Now, Speaker Johnson is saying this will be one of the most important votes that members take in their time in Congress. And, you know, I think it's something that's on every person's mind. When you have 10 million illegal border crossings and gotaways, you have to wonder, are those people going to be able to vote? And so, sadly, I'm not super hopeful that this is going to get through Congress. I think we're barreling towards the shutdown, and I'm afraid that Speaker Johnson is going to give up his leverage once again, or be forced to give up his leverage, and we're going to lose the SAVE Act, and then I don't think we'll get anywhere with border security by the end of the session.
How good or bad is the SAVE Act? Because I know that some have complained that one of the issues here is that it seems to be pushing Americans more into that national ID, real ID compliance kind of journey. Do you have a take on that from FAIR?
Yeah, look, I think the requirements to register to vote, if you're already registered, it's not going to impact you unless you're an illegal alien, because one of the requirements is to scrub the voter rolls. And so they'll check and make sure that those that are registered are actual citizens. There's federal databases with Social Security numbers and things like that where we can actually check.
Oh,
but when you go
okay.
to register to vote, you're going to need to prove that you're a citizen. And that could be a real ID compliant ID that you already have, because you have to prove citizenship to get that. Or it could be a U.S. passport, or it could be something like a birth certificate. So there should be readily available documents out there, and they're the type of documents that, you know, you should have to show when you get a job, for example. So these should be things that shouldn't be hard for an American to show when they go to register to vote. Because right now, Bill, the only protection, there's no mechanism to stop illegal aliens from registering to vote, really, because it's only a checkbox on a form. And a lot of states have these motor voter voter registration laws.
And by the way, Joey, Oregon is one of them. Yeah, we're
exactly.
one of these states.
Yes. And so in these states where illegal aliens can get driver's licenses, and they may not even mean it in a malicious way, they may get their driver's license and end up checking the box, and all of a sudden they wind up registered to vote. And that's problematic. And so the SAVE Act is strong in helping end that. And it also gives private citizens a right to civilly sue people that don't remove illegal aliens from the voter rolls or allow an illegal alien to register to vote. So it also gives this enforcement mechanism that just doesn't exist now, even though, yes, it is illegal to vote in a federal election as a non-citizen.
Yeah, we know it's illegal, but apparently it's been happening. Do we have any idea at what percentage illegal aliens are voting in our national elections right now? Because what we're always told, though, is that, yeah, some of this goes on, but it's not enough to affect the election. I'm thinking to myself, well, how do we know? So just one of these curious questions, right?
No, yeah, and Bill, that's part of the problem is right now we don't know, because this mechanism doesn't exist. And that is kind of what I think is so scary about this whole thing, is we don't know how many illegal aliens are registered to vote and how many are actually voting. And when you have elections that are decided, I mean, we all remember 2020, we had elections decided in states that were in the thousands of votes was the difference between who won. And so you have to wonder, are there enough, and in some of these tight congressional races, are there enough registered to vote and voting that it's impacting elections? And we already know places like Virginia, Ohio, Alabama recently have discovered thousands of non-citizens registered to vote in their state. And so it is happening. They are registered to vote. We just don't know how many across the country are registered, but I bet it's at least in the tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands. But right now we don't know, and the SAVE Act would actually help us learn just how bad it was.
As far as the machine that seems to exist to engage in hinky voting or, you know, engaging in subterfuge with this, is there a possibility that an illegal alien may not necessarily be voting, but a bad actor might find a way to get a handle on that ballot for that particular person and vote on their behalf? Is there any evidence that stuff like that could happen?
Well, that's an interesting question. I do know there was an interesting case that just came out. The DOJ announced that they've arrested and charged someone. I think the person pled guilty, but it was an illegal alien that basically assumed the identity of an American citizen and voted on that American citizen's behalf. And so, you know, you do have those cases out there. And I also think that shows that, you know, look, I'm not saying all of these people, but at least some of these illegal aliens probably are intending to try to register to vote and impact elections. And I think that case shows it.
I don't know if I told you about this a couple of election cycles ago here, Joey. Joey Chester with me from Federation for American Immigration Reform. But we had a pretty famous local case here in which we had foreign nationals coming to learn how to drive truck, and they would go to Rogue Community College. And in order to get their truck drivers, now they were legally here, but they were foreign citizens, okay? And they weren't illegal. But as a matter of getting registered to go to college to learn how to drive truck, they had to sign up for a driver's license, for an Oregon driver's license. So they did that, and then some of these motels ended up telling us after the fact that election ballots came for all of these people who had stayed at these hotels. They had used the hotels as addresses. And now, naturally, I don't know how high up the Secretary of State food chain it went. I know that our local elections official very upset about this and trying to crack down on it. But it seemed to me that the system was doing exactly what it was designed to do, wasn't it? Really?
Yeah, so that's where we go back to these motor voter laws, where when they got their driver's licenses, they were probably just registered to vote then. And maybe they meant to do it, maybe they did it accidentally. But those are the kinds of cases that exactly what the SAVE Act would fight against and stop from doing. And the hope would be, too, even if somehow an illegal alien was registered to vote, when these purges were done of the voter rolls, they would be discovered. And now, like you said, these guys weren't illegal, but they're still non-citizens, and non-citizens still can't register to vote and vote in our elections. Like in Washington, D.C., for example, you could be a foreign adversary living in the district and register to vote and vote in federal elections. And so there are people out there that want that to be happening. But if we get the SAVE Act stopped at the national level, we can at least stop that from happening in federal elections.
Okay. And this would then override state election law, which has tended to be loosier, goosier in states like Oregon. It would do that then? It would force us to kind of do it or not?
Yeah. States would be required to have this U.S. citizenship requirement to register to vote. They would be required to purge the non-citizens, and it would give Americans the right to sue.
Yeah. While purging the voter...
Local elections.
Oh, okay, what was that about local elections? I'm sorry.
It wouldn't... So, like, places like Washington, D.C., or other jurisdictions that allow non-citizens to vote in their, say, local city council elections won't impact that. This is for just federal elections.
Okay. Well, at least it's a start, though, if nothing else.
Yes.
Now, as far as the purging, you say there are databases about this because I know that we've had people come to town talking about our counties being 105-106% of eligible voters, that we have more people on the rolls that actually exist as far as votes. And this has to do with the state passing legislation that doesn't allow the purging of this for several years, apparently.
So there are, I kind of think of it similar to, you know, E-Verify, right? When you go to get a job and a state requires E-Verify, and you plug it in and it checks whether or not you're eligible to work, that you're a citizen or green card holder. So there are Social Security databases out there. You plug in the Social Security number, and it gives you, yep, this person is an American citizen, and they are rightfully registered to vote. And now if we plugged in either, say, a fake Social Security number, maybe there's a non-existent Social Security number that slips by, then we would know, you know, this person is a non-citizen or an illegal alien. Now, I imagine, and I don't know that if the bill says this, but I imagine states would also give people a chance to respond to being purged just in case there was some mistake that was made. You know how, you know, sometimes you fill out a ballot and maybe your signature looks weird and they give you a chance to remedy that. So I think that would be in existence too. But it would be this great check that just doesn't exist right now. Or states can do it, but they're just not willing to do it. You know, some of these open border sanctuary states just aren't interested in checking things like this.
I know Oregon has not been at this point in time, so we're definitely part of the problem. What about the issue with if you have your Social Security number being used by someone else and you're also using it? Is there a way to detect that? Can they figure that out in the system?
That's a good That is a good question. I don't know if they could check that out in the system. You know, I think that that's something, you know, if you were maybe registered to vote, but you weren't getting your ballot,
yeah,
or, you know, you went to vote, you always hear some stories of people going to vote and they find out that a ballot has already been cast for them.
Read a lot of stories like that, Joey.
Like that.
Read a lot of them.
Right.
You know?
So, or, you know, maybe you got one of those credit monitoring tools, you find out there's a new credit card opened in your name. But that's basically what this DOJ story was about, that illegal alien. They assumed the identity. And I don't know how it was all discovered, but I think the American citizen who was the victim of this, I think eventually figured out what was going on.
Yeah.
And they investigated it. But that's a good question, Bill.
Yeah, Joey, is it time for us? I mean, I know I'm a really big fan of federalism normally, which is you tend to leave the states to do as many things as possible rather than having everything being centralized under Mordor on the Potomac, okay? But is there a possibility that it's time to actually completely normalize all the election laws from state to state, county to county, under one set of rules? Because isn't one of the challenges here where the hinky happens is that there are so many different rules, and people will work the rules depending on where they are in that particular state?
Look, I think that there's a lot of people who are presenting that same question that you just did and trying to grapple with it. I think there's folks out there that traditionally, you know, wouldn't want the federal government to be involved in their local elections. But at this point in time, they're very concerned about election integrity. You know, there were people on the left who were upset at the 2016 election. There were people on the right who were upset by the 2020 election.
Yeah.
And now you've got people that are rightfully really concerned about illegal aliens who came in under Biden voting in elections. And so you have all these different groups of people who are very worried about this. And so I think, you know, it's worth the conversation. And maybe the SAVE Act has started this conversation where there's some, you know, more prominent level of federal involvement in elections. So maybe it starts with the SAVE Act and it goes well. And then, you know, there's a broader discussion about what elections look like going forward. But I think the ultimate goal, we have to give Americans confidence in our elections. And that is something that I just don't think we have that much of right now.
Indeed. Joey Chester, Communications Manager, Federation for American Immigration Reform. Read up on this at fairus.org. Of course, a big organization on this. And so you probably don't have a lot of hope for this particular iteration, or maybe not. I mean, you know, stranger things have happened in an election year, but I don't know. I'm thinking about it.
The SAVE Act is looking like so. There's the issue we're up against right now is there's some hardline conservatives in the House who do not want another continuing resolution.
That would be like Chip Roy, right? The Chip Roy types, right? They don't want.
Yes, but Chip is supporting it because it's his bill, the SAVE Act.
Mm-hmm.
So, Matt Rosendale and Thomas Massey and some others are, and I get where they're coming from, and they aren't going to support it. And then you have some of these House Democrats who even voted for the SAVE Act who are now saying, yeah, I don't think we're going to get on board with this. And that's why I say I don't have a lot of confidence that we're going to see this iteration of the SAVE Act pass. Maybe if there's a different president next year and majority House and Senate, maybe then it's something that we get taken care of. But I don't, as much as I want to, I don't have a ton of confidence that we're going to see this get done.
Yeah, could be done, but most likely it will not be. Now, could this, since it has already passed the House, does it have to pass in this Congress, or could it be brought back next year with no problem?
It would have to be brought back in the House again next year, but they could just use the version of the bill that they have now.
Okay, very good. Joey, I appreciate you coming on and talking about this, and it'll be interesting to see how immigration is handled tonight at the debate for sure, I'll bet. I'll bet you'll be watching, huh?
I'll be watching, and look, there are things that FAIR wants to hear about. It just came out, Kamala Harris, some 2019 immigration positions about, funding gender transition surgeries for migrants in immigration custody. And so I hope that she is pressed on her past immigration beliefs and her flip-flopping and trying to cover up her years and years of open borders policies.
What an odd policy to be in favor of, too. Come here and help the farmers in the San Joaquin Valley, right? That would be traditionally what would happen before. And by the way, if you need a gender transition, we'll help you with that. Huh? Okay.
And how is that popular with Americans? The majority.
I guess it doesn't matter unless you're looking to replace Americans with a new voting population. But that's a conspiracy for another day. All right, Joey? Thank you for coming on. All right? Be well.
Thank you, Bill. Take care.
Joey Chester, communications manager at fairus.org.